be able to be with you today. We're grateful that you have joined us, and we're grateful that we have opportunity to share in this service today, that we have opportunity to know that you are God and you are in control, and to share that hope with all of you. I want to talk about hope this morning. Where is your hope? From John 14, verses 1 to 11, we'll be sharing the hope that Jesus shares with us. But you know, right now we're dealing with a lot of frightening circumstance. So we have to deal with, where is your hope? We have shattered dreams. We have loss of work. We have loss of wealth. In some cases, we have loss of wealth. We certainly have loss of time and loss of some of those support systems we're used to. We have a loss of human contact, which really bugs us a lot, because we're so used to being close to everyone. Now, we want you to know something really, really, really important, and that is, God is greater than COVID-19. I hope none of you are surprised by that, because otherwise we're going to be stuck in our misplaced hope. Because in our misplaced hope, we're used to trusting about what we control. We're used to trusting in what we're planning. We're used to trusting in what we're trying to put together. And when we lose control, then we lose some of our hope. And a loss of hope brings fear, it brings chaos, it brings despair. But I want you to know and be really sure of this: fear is not from God, and chaos is not from God, and despair is not from God, for God is the author of hope and the author of our purpose and the author of grace to us. That's why we want you to be assured that Jesus has a word for us. The word from John 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." There's our core. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When Jesus gives us this word, he tells us first, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts get all stirred up. Don't let your anxiety overwhelm you. Don't let the despair take hold. Don't let the worries become more than who God is, because Jesus says clearly you can believe in God. He says clearly you can believe in me. Remember, 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 fear is not from God. Chaos is not from God. Despair is not from God. Jesus says, do not be discouraged. Do not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. A variety of reasons that he gives for us in the next few chapters, or next few verses of John chapter 14, is very important. He begins by telling us that he is preparing for us. In John 14, 2 and 3, he says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, Jesus is preparing for us, and this is amazing, because right now Jesus is facing the cross. He's facing the cross, and he says, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He wants us to hang on to hope. He doesn't want us to let go. He's telling his, His closest friends, his apostles, have been with him for 3 years. Those who will soon be sent out into the wider world. These 11 that are left and another that will rejoin them. And many thousands and millions and later billions who will rejoin him to go into the world and change it completely for him. So Jesus wants us to hang on to hope. He's reminding us that even when he's facing the cross, his departure has purpose. Some of you are facing the departure of loved ones. Some of you are facing the challenge of those who are ill. Some of you are facing the struggle of having recently lost loved ones. All of those things are a real challenge for us. Our hearts are broken. We hate the separation. We hate the removal. We just wish that it weren't so. But Jesus is saying, I have a purpose. I am preparing a place for you. A place for his disciples. A place where we will be with him forever. A place where we will never more have any of the struggles of earth. But I believe also it means it's a place where we will have, in Jesus, we will have a sense of his presence and a sense of his hope and a sense of his purpose right now in our lives. He's preparing a place for us. He's been doing this since he left us many years ago on earth and sent instead the presence of himself through his Holy Spirit. He's preparing a place for us. And he's preparing a plan to come get us. That's also kind of important. He's preparing a plan to come get us, not just a place, but a plan. He knows that he's going to return. There will be it'll be unmistakable with the sound of the trumpet. You're not going to miss this one, by the way. He has this plan to come get us. When we believe in him, believe in God, believe in him, he has a plan to come get us. He's prepared that place. He wants to bring us to be where he is. He wants to come get us so that we might ever be with him. That's where he really wants us to be. And he has a plan for our presence in heaven. That's where he really wants us to end up, with him forever. Now, this is why he's going to the cross, so that he might cover the debt for our sins. Any blood debt we have with God, Jesus is taking care of. And anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God, he's going to the cross so he can give us a way to remove that, so that there can be a chance for our forgiveness. There can be opportunity for us to confess and believe that God is taking care of our needs right now, so that he can take care of our needs for all eternity. And so the question here is, do you know the way? Jesus says in John 14:4-5, he says, and you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Well, This is a challenge that everybody has at some point in their life. We feel lost. We feel stuck. We feel confused. We're starting to feel fear. We're starting to fear the chaos in our souls. But God indeed does know the way where we go. And Jesus says to us that his disciples know the way. As he speaks to those who are with him right then, he says, you know the way I am going. Well, Thomas, he wants to get it right. I appreciate Thomas because he's willing to just speak his mind. This is why we call him a doubter, but actually he's one who wants to be confirmed. If we doubt our faith and then we seek God to confirm our faith, we will come out stronger in the end than we ever were in the beginning. Do you know the way? Jesus says his disciples know the way. Thomas wants to get it right, just like the rest of us. And so, first, he asks this. We want to know where you're going. Where are you going, Jesus? That's our first step to getting there, is knowing where we need to go. If we just take off down the road, we take off down the road and say, well, let's see, I think I'll go visit my daughter in Portland. And I get in the car and I drive down the road and I don't pay any attention to which freeway I'm on. I don't pay any attention to what direction I'm on. I don't pay any attention to where I'm going. Instead of Portland, Oregon, I might end up in Phoenix. I might end up in Chicago. I might end up in San Diego. And I might end up any place but where I need to be. I need to know where I'm going. Jesus says, do you know the way? Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Thomas wants to get it right. First, he needs to know where Jesus is going. And then he needs to know how to get there. We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way if we don't know where you're going? Well, that's where we look for the roadmaps. That's where we try and find out how it's going to work so we don't get lost. Getting lost is no good for any of us. Getting lost leaves us in the wrong place. Getting lost keeps us from knowing where God intends us to be. So as we seek to find the Lord, we need to seek him where he is. We need to find him where he is. There is only one way. And he shares that right now. First, where are you going? We don't know the way. And Jesus says to him, John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way. And Jesus says, I am, in three important ways. He calls on the great name of our God that was given to Moses at the first. Who shall I say is sending me? God said, tell them I am is sending you. Jesus is the I am in three important ways. First, he says, I am the way. I am the way to the Father. I am the way to your hope. I am the way to your salvation. I am the way that you need to follow. I am the way to forgiveness. I am the way to peace with God. And then he says, I am the truth. Well, we like to think there's many truths. We live in a relativistic society where truth is kind of something we pay little attention to as far as anything that's written in an old book like the Bible. But I've discovered that cover to cover, the Bible is absolutely full of truth. It talks about the human condition from the very beginning. And even though the last words that are in our Bible were penned a couple thousand years ago, everything in there applies to who we are right now. We haven't changed much as people over all of these years. We're still the same. We still react to things the same. We still have our own points of view. We still try to overrule God's truth. We still try to say to God, the one who created us, I know better than you do. And guess what? That's a rather, well, presumptuous thing to say, rather prideful thing to say, and ultimately a wrong thing to say. Jesus says, I am the truth, and then he says, I am the life. There really is no life except the life that lasts forever. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's back in John 10:10. He has come that our life would be true, our reality would be true, our presence with Him would be true, our understanding of where our breath, very breath comes from would be true. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, and He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We get to the Father through Jesus. We don't get to the Father through our own means. We don't get to the Father through any means of faith. Now, God has provided for those who have no chance to hear the gospel that they might discover His reality in creation. But when we have opportunity to connect to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then He's given us this way that we might have the best and most perfect and most complete and most certain and ultimately the only way to God. Even for those who've never heard the gospel, Jesus is still the only way, not to exclude but to include, for the presence of the Spirit of God is able to be anywhere where people look to God for their hope and their salvation. We get to the Father through Jesus. He is the I Am of God with us. We celebrate during Christmas Emmanuel, the word that means God is with us. And that's why He was born, so that He might know, we might know that God cares about who we are, where we are, and what our lives are like. God with us is the promise that God so loved us that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God with us, so that we might know when we are struggling and we are challenging, we don't know what's next, we might know God with us. And so we want to know this God of the Bible. And we know the Father by knowing the Son. We know the Father by knowing the Son. John 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know me, and you have seen Him. You know Him, and you have seen Him. Now, for some reason, Jesus' closest disciples miss this. It's almost like after Jesus has made His proclamation that from now on you do know Him and you have seen Him, that His disciples would have known this for certain. But John 14:7 starts by saying, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. The Father is present in His Son, and to know one is to know the other. But there's always this if involved. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Because we're not talking about knowing about Jesus. We're not talking about hearing of Jesus. We're not talking about knowing that we have a friend or a family member or a grandma who's praying for us or whatever else it might be that knows Jesus. It's about if we know Jesus. We need to know Him closely, intimately, personally. And that's what makes the difference for us, is knowing Him personally. His closest friends missed this at first. Even though they were deeply connected with Him, they hadn't really dug in. But it's about to become clear. It's about to become clear to them as they have to face their life with knowing Jesus in a different way than they have before. He says, from now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. He's telling them to His very friends, to His apostles, the ones who for the next several days were going to face the biggest fears, the biggest loss of hope, the biggest loss of faith that they've ever faced in their life. They are going to discover all that they have known about Him and all that they have seen about Him, which means we do know God the Father through Jesus the Son. We do know God the Father through what we have seen in Jesus. But I wonder, do you want a vision? Philip said to him, in John 14:8-9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Well, I wonder, are you like Philip? Do you want a vision? Something extraordinary? What convinces you? What convinces you? We tend to want this extraordinary reality of who God is. We want our very own face-to-face. We want to have a vision that places us in the presence of God like Ezekiel. And with Ezekiel, it almost drove him crazy the first time he saw that in Ezekiel chapter 1. In fact, some people think that he was pretty challenged right at that point in his life as he was trying to describe the Holy One of heaven in wheels and faces and lights and things like that. It was beyond his description and beyond his availability to really describe what was going on. Do you want a vision? What convinces you? We all want the extraordinary. We all want that personal explosion of God's presence in our midst. But knowing someone truly is personal. And that's the kind of vision we should get, is that kind of vision into the very heart of God. For God so loves you that he sent his only Son. Jesus has come to be Emmanuel, God with us. Philip wanted some window into heaven, but Jesus says, heaven has come to you. Emmanuel, God with us. Heaven has come to you. If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. No surprises. You won't. Once you know me, you won't be surprised by who God the Father is at all. Everything of the Father's personality is present in Jesus. Know him, and you know the Father. We don't need a new vision. We just need to rest in the vision that God has given us of his very own Son, Jesus Christ. So then Jesus asks back to Philip and his apostles, do you believe? In John 14:10-11, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Do you believe? It rests in who do you believe Jesus to be? This means we have to go a little higher in how we think. We need to think higher because Jesus came on God's authority. Who do you believe Jesus to be? He came because God sent him. He came because God loves the world so much, he wants us to be saved and not lost. He wants us to all understand his great and gracious and all-encompassing love. Jesus came on God's authority. He says, the things I say, I don't say of my own accord, but they come from the one who sent me. He came to show God's love, and we need to think deeper, because to know the Father means that we need to think deeper about how God shows us the Father. And Jesus says he shows us the Father by showing his works, the work of God that Jesus has been performing all this time, the work of God that Jesus was sent to perform. This is the purpose for why he came, so that we would not lose what God is doing all around us, but instead so that we would understand everything that he is seeking to show us. He shows us God's works. And we're also invited to think wider. Do you believe? Well, think wider. Think of this major first purpose of the presence of Jesus. To know the love of God. God is love. John says that in his first epistle, chapter 4. God is love. To know God is to know love. And Jesus came that we might know that love through the works of God. And the works of God even included the path of Jesus to the cross, that he would show by that very event that God loves us so much there's no price he wouldn't pay to make sure that you have an opportunity, to make sure that I have an opportunity to be with him forever. There is no price he wouldn't pay. Think wider. Jesus came to know God's love, that we might know God's love, that we might know his love, and that we might know his presence. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. We have the Holy Spirit to show that presence to us now. We have the Holy Spirit of God in those who love God, so that we might know the presence and the love of God through God alive in those whom he has invested himself by faith through all of these centuries. We have known people and we've been surprised by their peace. We have been surprised by their hope. We've been surprised by the great amount of love they have. Even when the worst has happened to them, they're pouring out the very best of God. And we wonder, how can this be? Well, that's because this is a person who knows God's love. This is a person who knows God's presence. This is a person that wants that love to be real in you, and they share it as it pours out of them. God's love, God's presence, and that's why God is here for us now, through Jesus Christ here for us now. He doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to be out of place. He doesn't want us to be where we don't need to be. Not living in fear, not living in despair, not letting the chaos take hold. So place your hope where it belongs. Place your hope where it belongs. We need hope. That's the human condition. We need hope because we need stability. We need hope because we need God. Place your hope where it belongs. Not in things, not in circumstance, but in God. God is greater than all of this. Jesus said, John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. God is where our hope needs to be. We get their best in Jesus. So place your hope where it belongs. Fear is not from God. Chaos is not from God. Despair is not from God. God is everything opposite of that. Instead of being the midst of trouble in our lives, he's the midst of hope in our lives. He is our provider. We can know that God will provide those things that we need, those people that we need, that healing that we need, that hope that we need, that comfort that we need. All of these things, God is our provider. And God is our protector. Oh yes, some who charge in with the hope of God will end up in the midst of that charging in and doing what God has led them to do. We have Christians who are going to get sick because they're going to take care of loved ones who are sick. This has happened throughout all of the ages, whether it's the Black Plague of Europe or whether it's the swine flu of 1918, or whether it's AIDS virus or whether it's all of these other things that we've been challenged with through this time. God is greater than what we face. He is our provider. He is our protector. For here's what the Christian knows. The Christian knows that even if I get sick, God knows where I am. Even if I lose everything, God knows what I need. Even if I go hungry for a bit, God knows what I need. Even if death overtakes me, even if the chaos present in the lives of others overtake me, even though fear in the lives of others overtake me, I am still fully protected in Him. It doesn't matter what I have to face. It doesn't matter whether the doctor comes in and tells me I have cancer, or the doctor comes and tells me my heart is damaged, or the doctor comes in and tells me a loved one has died. God is our protector. And God is our source and our end. He is our first and our last. He is our beginning. He is the one who has designed us. He is the one who has made us. The one who has provided for us. He is the one who is waiting for us. Jesus has provided the way to God so that we might not miss that. So that we might know the way that we go. God is Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us in Jesus. And when Jesus is in the hearts of His people, God is with those who don't yet believe, because God is with those who love Him. Have hope in this troubled time. Know peace in this troubled time, but especially know God in this troubled time, that your hope might be where it needs to be. Let us pray together. In every way, thank you, Father, that everything we need is in you. Thank you that our hope can be built.